And I think we should certainly try to recoup value relative to the programming we send out to the stations, but I'm also curious, I don't know how it actually works. If we were to, like, how do you give free access, introductory access? And I'm reminded of the Tom Lehrer song, The Old Dope Peddler, the line which goes, he gives the kid free samples because he knows full well that today's young innocent faces will be tomorrow's clientele. I think if we could somehow give out free, you know, like, say, look, we're having this coverage on this demonstration or this interesting, you know, item. Is it possible for a station to download that without being an affiliate for the purpose that we just announced? This is free stuff. Mm-hmm. Get the word out. Mm-hmm. Is that technically easy for us to do?
Yeah. I think that, yes, we have to begin coming up with a promotional strategy. How do we get the word out? I'm from Iowa, and people that know me, I go there regularly because of my parents, and it's devastating when I go there. The Iowa's one is in this pocket in the Midwest where there's no stations. And it's devastating to the frustration that people are feeling there, not having anything. And I think I really serious that, you know, this need to expand at this time is very important. And I think promotional strategies are very important at this point. And yes, I think, you know, a lot of the stations right now that are taking Democracy Now are not paying for it at the time. And I don't know about Free Speech Radio News, but I you know, this, it's like none of this is a hard business thing right now. It's basically, and it's been demonstrated by these two programs that there's a tremendous market that's very rapidly growing because this is a very valuable service.
Okay, we have Carol, George, and Ray, and not a lot of time.
Very quickly, I want us to, I just want to raise the issue that we in our five stations tend to get very provincial, and we're, you know, I'm from KPFA, and KPFA world is real, and PFW takes the same attitude, and I think that we really need to be connected with the larger community radio movement, and we need affiliate representation on our board to help us do that, and I just want to thank you for the work.
Thank you.
Okay. George?
Ursula, can you revisit, please, for 1 second, this business of we're on the KU satellite, and that's, people need, the radio stations need special equipment for that, whereas if they were on another more standard satellite, they wouldn't need the equipment? Is that what you said?
That's right. Pacifica used to be on the C-band, which is the public, national public radio managed. And then it was moved.
Why?
Because now, as I understand it, I spoke with Brian Gibbons and a few other people that were involved at the time. What they said was that Pacifica had an ambition. It aspired to build its own distribution system. So it isolated its programming on a different satellite, and that so that the people buying the program then would move with Pacifica to this other band, which would then be filled with Pacifica programming. Jim, maybe Jim
Let's
can...
Jim, add on
I
this.
I just wanted to add one thing that was a major factor in the decision of why Pacifica went to the KU satellite. So they didn't have to pay to put programs up on the C-band anymore. It was basically free for us to do that other than operating the channel that we were using.
Right, and added to that, the assumption was that if there was a certain level of growth, of annual growth, that in fact the KU system, the distribution system, could be an enormous new source of revenue for the network. There was also that component.
This was part of that whole package of rethinking the direction of Pacifica. Mm-hmm. It was just one part of what was beginning to take us down that slippery slope.
Right.
That was part of the crisis.
I've also been told that another motivation was that if Pacifica would isolate the affiliates and add a whole bunch of them, it would create a more favorable package for getting grants. So it was, you know, an attempt to kind of build a larger independent image to make us available for big money, in a sense.
Okay, sort of like having an IBM-based system versus a... What's the other system?
Yeah.
Apple. I mean,
No, and let me just suggest that this is a larger conversation. I don't think it's quite like that. I think there was a political dimension here. It wasn't just, here's one operating system and here's another one. There was a political direction that the old leadership of this organization was going in, and it had to do with building a business, not strengthening community radio.
And that's the point I'm making, is that in a strange sort of way, it's a fluke of history that they did this.
Right.
Clearly they weren't serious about the mission because they completely let it collapse.
Right.
However, in a strange sort of way, the mission stayed because the people involved realized that there was a potential to use this large coalition for a real political mission, and that's kind of what we have inherited and have the possibility to fulfill if we want to. It's a funny thing.
Ray was next.
Yeah, I just had were you able to assess where they stand in terms of how they want to come in to a new election with us? For example, we voted recently to create at-large seats on the national board. And at one point, there was a problem as to how they would be how they would define themselves, how they would actually come to consensus and so on. Have they been are they closer to that? Have you discussed that at all with them?
I didn't really, because I felt it was kind of beyond my scope. Honestly, most of the stations did not respond a whole lot to that, and I don't know if it's because they didn't want to discuss it with me. A lot of them really drew a blank. You know, two of them said, "Oh, that's crazy," you know, and weren't even interested. But there obviously were a large number of stations who said, "Yes, we know that," and then left it at that. I spoke with Marty Derlin about it at length and asked her if, you know, how people should contact, you know, that network. And she said, you know, maybe through the grassroots radio conference, or, you know, I kind of left that part open because I felt that in a way that's, I just kind of left that alone in a way. And
okay, Reem's on the phone.
No, I got a phone call from Errol Maitland, a point of information that the reason we also went with the KU is that we were scared that with the content, our more radical content will be kicked off an NPR managed and owned distribution system, and that's very important to put forth.
Okay, actually there's one other point I want to raise here that relates back to our budget discussion earlier. And the specifically national staffing. We have heard from the affiliates, and then Ursula made it very clear again in her report, that one of the pieces of strengthening and rebuilding this program, the affiliate program, is to have a staff person. I'm not saying it's a full-time job, but somebody who's at least part of their job is the relationships with affiliates. The affiliates we already have, and hopefully the recruitment, if you will, of more affiliates, the lining up of more affiliates and stuff. Again, without meaning to open up a whole can of worms here, personally, I think that job is a higher priority than a national program director at this point in the life of this organization. And we have to see what happens, you know, with the development of the national office budget. But I really want us to think about this as a part of the project of rebuilding Pacifica, not just rebuilding the affiliate program, but rebuilding Pacifica and what we're all about in, you know, in this moment in history. You know, there's been talk and people have raised the need to think about raising money, trying to, you know, develop a capital campaign to raise money to buy more licenses. That might be an interesting thing to do, but I think a much more immediate and potentially, you know, obviously I think a more immediately successful use of our resources is to put some staff time into strengthening the whole affiliate program. For me, it's not about how many licenses we own. It's about the content of the programming reaching more and more audiences. That's the critical thing. And I don't think we have to own more licenses to find ways to bring the message and the messages and the cultural programming, the arts program, the whole package out to more and more audiences around this country. So I really, this whole discussion for me just reinforces the need to re-examine the national staffing pattern and to make sure that there's somebody, because it's not just about the technical stuff, which is critical, and it's not just about the billing. which obviously is a necessary task. It's about building the relationships, yeah. And that requires some real attention. So, one technical point, and then Dina's on the committee, so we'll hear from her too.
You know, a lot of folks know.
Who are you?
My name is Pete Karakis. I work on the website for Pacifica.org. A lot of folks know about peer-to-peer file sharing like Napster, where two random folks in the world can share files and music. Essentially, what the affiliates are asking for is a peer-to-peer connection where they're one peer and we are another, and we can connect in both ways. You know, we can send files in both directions. We should be, depending on our budget, I mean, I'm conflicted here because I work for the website and I want resources for the website, but I hear this, and frankly, I think that, as you said, Leslie, the resources put here are more immediate. If resources are put on the website, we could, within 6 months, have a system that we can share files and do away with the KU if we want to do this all online. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, that would take away resources from other things. I think in hearing this, frankly, this is not a technical point, but when I hear that 100 cities are having peace rallies on every month or so, I think to myself, we need to have 100 affiliates. Right. You know, every one of these cities wants and needs our programming. And right. Yesterday, I heard people talk about an outreach person and a national outreach person. I know you. I mean, this as the board of directors here, I'm asking, kind of conflicted as also an employee. For direction in, I think, steering us in this direction. I think a national outreach coordinator could do the job of doubling, tripling, quadrupling our affiliates in the next 12 months. And I claimed before that we can do this online, but more immediately we can do this in the real world. So I really want to – I heard this report, and I know Ursula, so I heard her data, and frankly, I got very excited. And so I think this is a great opportunity for us to immediately grow our base. And I think we should really think about putting resources here. Anyway.
Thank you. Okay, Dina, do you want to have that final word on this?
just clarity from the board that because the affiliates put in for representation on the board, that whether it come out of the three at large or if the at large doesn't get voted in, is there another mechanism by which an affiliate could sit on the board? Just so it doesn't get lost in the cracks, that somehow we get representation from affiliate. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. Teresa, do you want to?
This is Teresa, and you gave our committee and the board a challenge a little earlier, and I don't want to be a bottleneck. I realize perhaps I have been. I think we're ready to go. I think that I give permission for people to gently nag me as the head of this committee to stay on task. I would like it to be reciprocal. I would like somebody to say, this is so-and-so from KEOS and such, or this is so-and-so from, you know, WMNF in Tampa. Is that right?
Yes.
Did I get it right? Oh, my gosh. I think that would be good to hear, to get past some of this this feeling that, you know, here we're in Houston, where it's all at. I think it'd be so good to hear all of these different voices in different cities, and give the impression that we are a huge network, and there's solidarity, mm-hmm. there's some comfort in common ground, mm-hmm. Among all of these stations. So please assist us in keeping on task, keeping, you know, building this network. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. So again, thank you, Ursula, for really helping us focus this work. Thanks. Okay, we have one more agenda item for this evening, and then we will adjourn for the evening. And that is on the race and nationality. Again, just to remind everybody, back in June, we were given a set of proposals that we adopted as sort of guidelines and goals and direction to be moving in on dealing with issues of race and nationality and diversity throughout the network, at every level of the network. And then we had a little more discussion about that in September, the September meeting, and now we need to talk about it again. One thing is that we had asked for the labs at each station to be involved in helping to make sure that committees were set up at each station to, folks, can we have it quiet in the room, please? We asked for the labs to help set or help make sure that committees were set up at each station to discuss the dynamics around race and nationality and diversity issues at the station to see where the weaknesses were, what the strengths were, what we could learn, what needs to be worked on, you know, and to look at the set of 8 recommendations that we had gotten and what needs to be implemented. Let me just say that this is, I think, one of the places. Yesterday when I spoke, I said how the bylaws process has been somewhat draining on us. This is one of the places where all that energy has been going into bylaws discussion. If half of that energy, if a third of that energy was going into this work around the race and nationality, we would be a whole lot further along in this. So it's just an example of what I was trying to get at yesterday. Anyway, we now have, I don't know if everybody got, someone distributed a proposal for a national coordinator, which we did discuss in the September meeting. And my recollection was that Jim Bennett, as the from KPFA, the manager at KPFA, had offered actually on an interim basis, I believe, it wasn't clear how long a basis, would help fund this position of a national coordinator. I don't know who actually put this on our... Steve?
It's from Steve.
Yeah. So maybe, Steve, do you want to open this up, make a few comments, or whoever from the committee is going to do that? Great. Thanks.
Thank you. We want to thank you for allowing us to give you an update on a report. First, we did want to say how great it is to be here in Bleary, Washington, D.C., with probably the most representation I've seen from the board. It was really wonderful to see so many members here today. And we have a report that we wanted to give you to update you on our process so far. Briefly, as you mentioned, during the Pacific and Now Conference, which took place back in June in Berkeley, a racially diverse group of more than 25 listeners, activists, president and former staff members from 4 or 5 of the Pacifica stations met to discuss anti-racist initiatives for the network. A resolution resulting from this dialogue was adopted by the interim Pacific and National Board at their June meeting. It's been very difficult and complicated work, and I agree that if the amount of energy and dedication in regards to the bylaws, if a tenth of that was applied to other issues that are very major, there's so much that we can accomplish together. It's been very complicated, and we're going to try and give you a blow-by-blow of some of the results and the process and hopefully where we want to go and where we can go from here. And I did want to say in the beginning of that wherever we go, it's going to take all of us, all the stations, all the commitment to trying to resolve the issues as they affect us all in regards to race and diversity, both internally as it relates to Pacifica and externally as it relates to society in general. So with that, I'd like to begin by introducing you to Glenda, who's going to give you her introduction to the process in regards to this issue.
Great. You want to help with the mic?
My name is Galinda Bush. I'm from the KPFA listening area. I'm a member of the Coalition for Democratic Pacifica there and also a member of the Diversity Committee. I want to briefly go back to our initial, just to recap briefly how we got here, to the our resolution in June that we proposed to the board. I have some copies here for people who haven't seen it or who want to see it again. For people that listen on the radio, they can go, if they have internet access, to wbai.net, find the June board meeting, and they will find the document to read. This was a document which had 8 areas, basically, of suggested improvement on the issues of race and nationality in all areas of Pacifica. I think our starting point was dialogue. There should be dialogue in all on all levels of Pacifica about this. there should be training within the staff and the listener and the governance, people involved in the governance of Pacifica. There should be programming, community outreach, and collecting data in the different stations and on the national level on race and nationality. And also, we wanted to have some goals and guidelines, and then to be able to evaluate how, after a year, how far have we come? Did we make progress on all these areas? And also another important thing is affirmative action and representation in on the staff. After the June, at the June meeting, the IPNB basically supported, Leslie said that already, supported the spirit of our proposal, and also supported or voted on to have, parallel to the bylaws process, a committee, a national committee, in addition to the local diversity committee. So they actually voted on a direct involvement of the IPNB. And then the initial group worked on email and with conference calls to further that work. Then at the Houston meeting, we basically asked for support, resources, and help, because it's very, very difficult on a volunteer basis across the country, five different stations with five different situations and very specific problems to get this work done and to make progress. And so at the Houston meeting, we were asking for help, and we were asking for a paid position, for someone who could pick this up as a job and be more coordinated and be more effective than a volunteer effort can be. Then Jim Bennett very generously offered this two-month position, and I would like Jim to come up after we're done and kind of state what his offer is and how he sees that now, being in December already. And after that meeting, we try to set up a process. How are we going to do this? I mean, we are not an elected group. We are a spontaneous group that came together, and we had to figure out who has the mandate, or who are the people that would work on a job description, figure out how to post it, interview people, and then to suggest their selection to Dan, who is the executive director. And we came up with the process to have one person of each lab designated from each area to have this selection committee or recommendation committee. And where we are right now is that we have 4 out of 5 labs have designated that person. And WPFW, the person was selected head of drawer, and so we have to get another person from PFW. And that's what where we are right now in that process. And it's a long and difficult process, but I think this is just how Pacifica is in trying to get something done on the national level.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Mary Berg, a member of the an unpaid staff member of the local advisory board, and also a member of the diversity committee, also a member of the Coalition for a Democratic Pacifica. And we have tried to make progress since June, even though we were doing it on this volunteer basis. 2 other stations have developed diversity committees. And at KPFA, we have, our committee has been of the most vibrant of all of the lab committees, I think. We've had as many as 40 people attending from time to time. Not everyone can come all the time, but there is an interest in it. And we have developed, it's in the final stages now, a comprehensive questionnaire, a diversity questionnaire to be handed to all staff so that we can, paid, unpaid, and as I said, we had 12 categories of people there, and to all 12 of them, so that we can see what we really have going. Also, Max Blanchet, who is a member of the Diversity Committee, completed the surveys that you have, we spoke of last night, and you've had copies of exactly what programming goes on in prime time, what is the composition of paid, unpaid in various categories, what is their ethnicity, and so forth. And we hope that other stations, as you said last night, will follow that model. Those are just a few of the things. We are embarked on other things, including mediation workshops and some other projects. But we've been moving forward. But we do need some help now.
My name is Bob Lederer. I'm a member of the unpaid staff at WBAI and part of this National Anti-Racism Working Group of Pacifica. And I just wanted to bring this to the question of what we're asking of this board today. We obviously have been working as hard as we can on an unpaid basis to move forward this process that the board endorsed in June and have made some headway, but we're very hopeful that with the hiring of a coordinator for this work nationally, even though initially it will only be for a two-month period, that that'll help jumpstart the process at all five stations. And we hope that, this may open doors to funding for a longer-term position. Now, before this meeting, we had developed a proposal that we delivered to you today for a paid national coordinator for the entire fiscal year coming out of the national budget to kind of pick up for where after Jim Bennett's offer of a two-month position leaves off. But after hearing the discussion this morning of the dire situation with the national budget of Pacifica, we understand and however reluctantly want to say that we can see that this may not be a realistic goal for the national budget to fully fund this fiscal year, but we think it's of the utmost urgency that it be funded as soon as possible next year or even at a later point in this year. But that in addition, that there are a lot of expenses involved in conference calls and travel that will be coming up to coordinate and learn from the experiences in each city. There is, as Mary was saying, important work that's been done in Berkeley and the beginnings of work in other cities that people need to share and learn from as far as training workshops and methods of having censuses of staffs and methods of having dialogue and actual planning, affirmative action planning with teeth in it. And so all of this is going to require a lot more support. And so we would ask the board for allocating funds for the support of this kind of work to go along with the two-month funding that has already been put forward. And then the second thing is that this board did set up a race and nationality committee in June. Mm-hmm. To our knowledge, it hasn't yet met, but we would like to request a conference call between the anti-racism working group and also the selection committee for the interim coordinator with this committee so that we can figure out some ways within the constraints of the budget to move forward this work. And I just want to end with the urgency of the growing number of racial conflicts that are going on in different parts of Pacifica. There's serious crises, and there are sectors of communities of color that are telling folks that we've been in dialogue with that they feel excluded and locked out in different ways, whether from programming or staffing or both. And so this is the highest urgency that it be addressed in a serious way.
Could I have a question? Yeah, question.
Sure.
Question to you. Has anyone on the committee looked at whether this is a grantable position, finding some grant money for it?
Well, clearly that's an option that could be explored, but again, with as unpaid people, we just haven't had the time to do that.
Also, quick question. Has anybody been able, as a committee or any individual, been able to put together an estimated budget for conference calls and travel, you know, some of the resources the committee needs just to do its work above and beyond the paid position?
No.
Can you restate the question?
I'm just wondering if we could get some estimate on conference calls. I don't know if the committee has conference calls once a week, once a month, how many people are on it, you know, what kind of resources are we talking about? What's the dollar amount, if anybody knows?
We are preparing a full statement from that. As we say, it's been a work in progress, so depending on the amount of meetings that we have had to put together, and that has increased some sense in developing the search committee, and so we'll have a better, more clear process of that, and we're preparing that report for you, and you should have it within the next 2 weeks.
Okay, great. Thanks.
And also, right now, for our conference calls, that is part of Jim Bennett's generous offer to at least reimburse people for their phone bills. But, I mean, we have to project what expenses we will have if this work really picks up, and people may be traveling to other cities to do work, and we don't have that yet. And another thing I wanted to add is we were talking this morning about a development director, and my question was if the question Cal asked, if this is a fundable position, if that national development director could be helpful in that area also to look at our project and see how could we fund that.
Yes. Definitely.
Sorry, I just wanted to add one last thing. An important aspect of this work is that, which we said in our report in June, but we want to re-emphasize today, is that while the focus of our work has been and will continue to be around race and nationality issues, we believe that the structures and concepts that are developed through this work will form a critical foundation to support and promote the inclusion and the full representation and involvement of other oppressed groups in Pacifica, including and not limited to women, lesbians, gay men, bisexuals, transgendered people, people with disabilities, working class people, poor people, prisoners, young people, and old people, and that there need to be similar processes for all of these groups to make sure that Pacifica fully meets its mission.
And finally, I just wanted to say that we are learning quite a bit, even on this basis, about the need, mm-hmm. the continuing need throughout the system to address these issues and to deal with some systemic issues at various stations as it relates to race and diversity and the complications that some areas have in terms of dealing with that. And it is not at any single location. There are a lot of different types of problems that we have to find some clarity in terms of figuring out ways for people to discuss these issues, to resolve some of the problems they have, and to institute processes which are going to protect people and give us the kinds of diversity and answers that we need to be the kind of beacon and example that the system represents at this particular point. We are encouraged, we think. We think the majority of people who work, who dedicate their lives, who work very hard, volunteer, and staff, in terms of their dedication to Pacifica, are committed to the goals that we all seek. And that's a plus for us. We may have different ways of looking at how to deal with it, and our job or our approach as far as we're concerned is not to determine that. It is to listen, to bring you back the information of what we learn, to give you ideas about what we feel people are saying about what their structural issues are, to look at programming ideas as we've laid out in the 8 points. And for that, we need all their opinions and their viewpoints so that you can hear them and determine for yourselves what is the best way that we all need to move forward. So we'll be glad to take any questions from anyone at this point.
Okay. Are there any more questions? Yeah.
I just know that in September, what impressed me most, we had just passed a resolution to move to Berkeley, and then this came up. It was handwritten, I remember, and it was a request for money, and we had just stated that we had financial problems. I remember Rob Robinson very distinctly saying, oh, I would think we should, of all things, we should be able to get a grant for this. And I said, wow, that's so true. If anything, we should be able to get a grant for this. And I'd like to know who specifically is working on getting a grant for this.
Okay, no, what I think we heard already is that there's nobody on the national staff who's like a development director who's looking into grants or this or anything else. And the committee hasn't had the wherewithal because they're all volunteers and all doing a million other things. So the answer is at this point to date, nobody has looked into the grant thing. I think what I'm hearing is that if the offer from KPFA to cover a position for 2 months is still on the table, which I believe it is, right, that should be kicked in to play, right? That the committee has put together an idea to have one person from each of the five signal areas be a selection committee, and that the ED would make the final selection on the person, that should happen. One of the jobs, hopefully, that person would do some initial exploring as to where some grant money might be available to fund a full-time permanent position, as well as some of the other work that this person would do. That logically could be one place, or anybody here could volunteer to look into some grant possibilities. But right now, nobody has done that yet. Jim, did you want to add something about the...
I just wanted to say in my exalted role as one of Pacifica's sugar daddies that I did indeed want to confirm that KPFA is more than willing and happy to try to get this ball rolling, and that's why we volunteered to do this in September, because we felt that with the grip that we had on our finances, we could see that we had the ability to fund this position as a half-time position for a couple of months, right. Not knowing or assuming that there was a lot more work to do than just 2 months, but feeling as if we could at least do that to get it started, and knowing full well that that's not going to be enough. But I think what we would like to see is to actually have the position come to fruition and get developed, and then see where we go from there, and also try to pick up some of the expenses that people are running into to try to get this together.
Great. Okay. Are there other questions? David?
Yeah, I just wanted to... Okay.
Get to the mic. Get thee to a mic.
I just confirmed with Eva Georgia, the general manager at KPFK in Southern California, 90.7, that... what's so funny about that?
I know that.
That you do. That we have just hired a new development director, and that we would be able to allocate some resources in that regard towards looking into grant for this issue.
Oh, great.
Excellent.
Great. So that's one place to look. Obviously, everybody can look for money for this position and for anything else, but, you know, but that's thank you to KPFK to help us do that. Rob was next, and then Carol.
This isn't a question, but I wanted to read something because it came to me from Rafael Renteria, who's from the KPFK signal area, and I'd just like to read a few points from it. His thesis is he's asking the network to move forward to fully fund the position of race and nationality coordinator and to fill the position on an interim basis as quickly as possible. And he says several matters now before the Pacifica Network and the interim Pacifica National Board will significantly affect the direction of the network in relation to communities of color, the poor, the women. He goes on to talk about general and specific and structural issues that affect race and nationality. And I happen to think that Rafael is right. You may or may not agree with he and I, but I want to talk about this right now because I think there are issues that we keep working on. Structurally, he says, before us is the question of representation of oppressed groups on Pacifica's various boards. And that's what we've been discussing, arguing about, getting hysterical about, particularly in regard to some of Jabari's proposals, the constituency model. And I think that is an area of structural concern that has to do with how we handle race and nationality, and it isn't resolved. The other general issue that he talks about is he says there are deep divisions around the race and nationality issue at KPFT, WBAI, and KPFK, and the pressing issue of the stature of WPFW, Pacifica's black station, in the rest of the network. Many or most of the profoundly troubling matters throughout the network are rooted in these conflicts, and they must not be ignored. And I think that that's exactly right. I don't think we understand some of these issues clearly. The fact of the matter is that WPFW is a Pacifica station in a predominantly African-American community. I identify with that community. I identify with what WPFW says and does. I don't see it as a black station. I see it as my Pacifica station. And lastly, he says, and this is the specific type of thing that we're struggling with in many of our signal areas. He says there is serious concern that a campaign has been waged by a largely white sector of listener activists and others that targets the KPFK general manager on the basis of unsubstantiated charges that include a number of racist, sexist, heterosexist, and xenophobic stereotypes. You may or may not agree with that analysis, but this is a problem that has been plaguing us and preoccupying us for a long time. And I just want to associate myself with these concerns and suggest that we do move forward, because the issues of race and nationality, the divisions that we have, need to be healed if we're going to get on and really be a voice for the nation and exercise leadership. We've got to clean up our own act in these areas. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's very important that we get this position filled. And where is the committee with that? Do we now have a selection committee with one person from all five stations that it can make a recommendation to the board soon of a person, or to Dan, of somebody to hire?
Right now we have four of the five stations. PFW is missing and needs another appointment, but then we're ready to go. I mean, there has been the first conference call of the people that are already on that committee, and it's a racially diverse committee. So I think I would give it another week or so to have that.
Do you think, if I follow up question, you would be ready to recommend a hire, at least for the interim position, to Dan by the end of the year, so we can. What's your your timeline?
I have a hard time. I personally, I'm not on the committee. I'm an alternate from KPFA.
Oh.
And thinking about the holidays and stuff, I think it's a bit short. The end of the year, maybe.
Yeah.
January 15th.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm really the wrong person too. You know, it's just
right.
My personal assessment. So I would say mid-January, but don't call me on it.
Yeah, I know everything takes a little longer than we ever want it to, but we
our
did
expectations
approve this in September.
Yeah. Our expectations are by mid-January that the mid-committee
yeah.
should come with a recommendation, and
great.
They have agreed to work hard between now to get the process going and to make a selection as soon as possible, because we all agree that it's overdue and we need to get the ball rolling. So mid-January, we would assume. We look forward to meeting with the committee so that we can discuss more specifically. I think one of the things we've noted is that it's important for us to stay engaged with you and to stay engaged with communications with the other stations about these issues. We are aware that other stations have concerns about what this is and whether or not they're what the motives are, or those kinds of issues, and I think that people need to realize that really we want to share the information with them as well as to hear from them about their point of views, about their issues. I think that the issues throughout the station are more complex than some of the ways that we define them, and if we allow ourselves to define them in those fairly simplistic ways, we won't be able to resolve them. I think there are more complex issues that have a lot to do with structures, have a lot to do with approaches, and often race issues are used as a way to divide, to keep people from connecting, and to disallow people from finding solutions. Not because they necessarily, and I'm not saying that that's the case in any instance, are racist, but because that's a convenient tool to use to keep people divided. And I think those require different types of solutions. And some of them, it appears to me, seem to be or appear to be mostly systemic issues. And that's why I think this work is important in figuring out structures that at least we have that kind of definition and ways to resolve these issues instead of being distracted by these issues.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, I think Ray was next, then George.
Yeah, I think these are indeed important issues. And I agree with Rafael Renteria, was of the observations that he made through to Rob Robinson, including the mention of EVA. I mean, I don't know all the issues there, but if it is clear that EVA evaluation of people's behavior is impacted on by our own limitation about race and gender and sexual preferences, these are indeed very serious concerns. I know that WBAI does have presently a position, a development person, and I would hope that as soon as the change is made, that we can consider that until the national board can do so. To me, this is a very important activity. What you're looking at really cuts across many of the concerns that we have. We're talking about recruiting people, we're talking about outreach, we're talking about training. These are the communities, the people that need those activities the most. And clearly, division along those lines can hurt us more than almost anything else, as we've seen too often. So I suggest that we take it seriously and show that concern by putting our money where our mouth is.
I would hope that we would seriously consider, you, Dan, would seriously consider in hiring this person that it'd be someone who is Hispanic or Asian, given the large number of Asian people in California, and we're many in Houston, of course, and Hispanics in all of our station areas. And it is very sad to me that we have so few folks who are Asian and Hispanic who are involved in our organization, and we have all failed to the extent that those groups are underrepresented.
Okay, are there other comments? I just want to make one other comment, if I can, that I also very much appreciate the fact that this group without any resources has just hung in there and forged ahead and, has keep pushing the whole organization just by being a group, and, let alone with your concrete ideas. And I guess other people feel the same way. What I also want to say, though, is that this is to everybody, not just to this group, that this task, our ability to really deal with the issues raised here, it can't rest in the hands of a committee or even a large committee, right? It's really only going to work if people in all the signal areas and in all the layers of Pacifica take it on. And I know that, like I said last night, everybody's on overload. What we have to figure out is how to integrate this into all the other work that we're doing and not see it just as another chore, but as a central part of the mission of the rebuilding of Pacifica. Because otherwise, for all the good work that a committee does, it's only going to get so far. So the committee can help guide us all, can help lead us in a direction or open up a set of questions or make recommendations or, all the kinds of work that you and a paid staff person will do. But unless everybody is taking it on in some form or fashion, it's not going to work. And I must say, coming out of the New York scene these days, if we don't pay some attention to this, I mean, we're just going to eat each other up. And by paying attention to this, what I mean is not just pointing fingers at each other and saying that what you're saying or doing or how you're acting is racist or bad or whatever, but actually having a real discussion with each other. The name calling around this stuff, it seems to me, it's an extremely superficial way to deal with racism or other forms of oppression too, and it makes it worse. Because it creates even more barriers, that we've got to figure out a way to have an honest exchange of ideas and perspectives and get to understand each other a little bit better, hopefully by working together in the project of rebuilding Pacifica. That common ground gives us some reason to get to know each other, that there's something we're all interested in working on together. But somehow we've got to break through the kind of stuff that, again, I know New York better than other places, but I know it's happening in various forms, throughout this network. And that means when we see it happening, those of us who are right there on the ground need to step in. And I must say, just in a self-critical way, that I've been at meetings and I've been on listservs, and I know I haven't spoken up enough to say, please stop this garbage, or any other way of saying that. And we all need to sort of jump in when and be as actively involved around these issues as this committee is. Teresa and Steve.
Okay. Madam Chair, I'm still rather confused. I heard Carol Spooner ask when this committee would be ready to select a person.
They said by mid-January.
Okay, but we haven't allocated the money to pay this person.
Right, KPFA is paying a short-term, half-time job, and one of the tasks that the committee has, that the person has, and that now the KPFK development person has, is to explore other sources of money.
And so we will revisit this app. So this will be a temporary position for 2 months,
right,
and then we will vote on this again if there's not a grant to continue that.
Right.
Because I want to be sure
fiscally
where we're going. Thank you.
They're aiming for January. I don't. The committee with Dan will figure out the exact details of when it's going to start. I think they want to move as quickly as possible, but they don't want to set up false expectations. You know, so they're saying mid-January is what they're aiming for.
Hope you can find somebody.
Just wanted to make one point about the position as we see it. There are a lot of different types of communities that we need to reach out to, and there are complex reasons why they're not as reflective in Pacifica. The idea is that outreach is an important characteristic in terms of getting the kinds of diversity that we all would like to see within Pacifica. And certainly, as you've mentioned, that seems to be the root of a lot of the kinds of conversations that you've heard from a variety of different environments. But if we look at these particular communities as single communities and don't look at them as the need to have more representation of a variety of different races and representations, whether it be prisoners or whether it be gender-related issues, if we don't look at it as a need to look at our environment as being more inclusive and reflective of those, if we focus on it just from a single community issue, we're never going to have the kind of diversity that we need to have. We need to look at it more broadly and look at the needs from our community from a variety of different angles and look at each environment and its concerns as they affect that particular environment. And that's the only thing I would caution people is to perhaps look at it a little bit more broadly from that point of view.
Okay, great. And any other final comments?
Yeah, I'd like actually to hear from the board. I don't know if it reads reaffirming or constituting, but I'm not sure, not clear about the board, the IPNB Committee on Race and Nationality that you, I think, agreed to in June. And who's going to be on it and how, you know.
Yeah, I think that's a perfectly legitimate question. I, to be honest, don't recall who at the September meeting volunteered to be on that committee.
I did. Dave Furtick did, and others did.
Whenever it was.
And
David and Teresa and Ray and maybe Jen.
I have absolutely fallen down on James. The job. I've done literally nothing except ask my lab and others to do things because I'm just overwhelmed and I've been remiss. And it's something that I keep saying we got to keep it in front of our nose and we talk and talk. I've always said talk and don't do nothing about it. It's doing about it what does about it. And I think that I've said many times too that the outreach of training and involvement is a critical thing. But I am humiliated by my failure to have done anything productive in this regard.
Okay. The goal here is not to humiliate anybody. The goal is to move it forward. So, David, are you able to move it forward? Do you think you can convene a meeting of this committee?
I shall do so.
Okay, great. Thank you.
On that note of what you said, David, I'm thinking Charles Smith of Houston should be our representative for this committee. When it comes right down to doing some work, I'm not for... Just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Okay. We have to fill out this committee. Okay.
I've pretty much been a silent member. I've never spoken as a member of this committee, although I've been involved in it since the very beginning. And I think what Steve just said just a moment ago was in response, as far as I'm concerned, to the statement that was made a few moments ago about the idea of having someone either Hispanic or Asian as the individual hired to help to facilitate this process along. But I think that I know that George's heart is in the right place by the statement that he made, but what we are trying to say is that there's a lot of racism that we don't even identify in ourselves as members of this committee, and that this whole process will hopefully expose us to our own racism and help us to make a stronger Pacifica in the future. Okay.
Okay, and any final comments on the committee?
I just wanted to mention that our committee is a very diverse group, which does yes. contain Asians and blacks and women of different groups.
Great. And Bob.
Just one related bylaws matter that we wanted to remind you of, which is the proposal that we brought to you two meetings ago, which you accepted on a straw poll, to have a specific power or duty under the bylaws for the local station board to watchdog the question of staff diversity, but to do that in a way that's very concrete and has some teeth in it about the demographics of the signal area, that for all of a list of oppressed groups, which we included in language that we've given to the board, that it be a responsibility of that board to make sure that they work with management so that the staff includes at least the proportion in the signal area's population for those groups. So we hope that you will adopt that very specific and strong language when you finalize your bylaws language.
Okay, thank you. All right, we need to wrap this up.
We just have one question, just so we know where we're going from here. Because often when we get out of here, we go, okay, now what are we doing?
I know.
Same there. I know.
Believe me, I understand that feeling.
So we're going to try and get the candidates elected by the 15th or so of January, which we will then direct that to Jim to make that selection.
No, Dan will make the final selection.
This is a national position, and yeah. It's my understanding you're not hiring anybody. You're making a recommendation, not a selection.
Right. So we will. I'm just asking who want us to Dan, submit that selection to.
You should talk to Dan before the weekend is over to make sure you're all on the same page about timing and process. But the final selection will be Dan's, and then KPFA will be writing the paychecks to the person.
Right. Now, and at the conclusion of the two-month period, and we will prepare that report, are we slated then to return to the board to make that report to talk about either the continual interim position or concepts or ideas about a more long-term position along with funding ideas?
Yeah.
Is that what you expect from us at that particular time?
Yeah, I believe so.
Can I?
Yeah, sure.
I'm hoping that there won't be a downtime when the position isn't funded. So I would hope that, somebody will be working on finding some grant money so that it'll just keep going forward. You don't have to come back to us that it's funded.
Right. But obviously, it's not coming back to request more money. It's the coming back and keeping us up to date and keeping the conversation going and the process moving forward. Yeah, it'd be great to find the money, either the committee, the person hired, or the committee, or the KPFK development person, or somebody. You know, please, anybody out there listening, all across America, if anybody can help us find some money, particularly earmarked for this position or for any of the other wonderful things that we are doing. But right now, for this position, you know, we'll take ideas from anybody. Yeah.
I just wanted to say that I think that in terms of what KPFA would like in terms of the selection process is not to be a factor in that selection process, but to have a communication or a conversation with the committee as they also contact Dan so that we'll know a little bit about the person and we'll know a little bit about the process.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think it should be actually not just the paying station, but all station. If we're going to talk of processes, they happen to be generous to put the money out, but I think if it's going to be transparent to one station, it's got to be to all. That's my opinion. But I came here to say First Nation people are calling me.
Who's calling you?
Native Americans, to say when we talk of diversity, we need to include them in the programming, in the staffing, in all these issues. And also I will add Arab people and Muslims at this point in history. And another thing, another phone call came saying, are we still committed to at least 50% women, 50% people of color on the labs? What's the level of compliance on the staff and on the lab? Can we get these figures?
Okay, again, this question about diversity, you mean in the new structure?
In the current structure of the labs,
okay.
what is the compliance?
Okay, well, I don't know if we can get that right now, but we can ask the lab chairs to, you know, give that information at some point. We need to wrap this up because
thank you. We're done.
Thank you for all the work you're doing. So, it is unbelievably 6:31. We have pulled this in right on the nose here. We need to adjourn for the evening. Billy Ray.
Motion to adjourn.
You know, it would have been interesting.
One second, folks. I'm sorry. Let's just get the 2 seconds.
It would have been interesting to have a public comment for a couple of minutes on the process that took place in the day. You know, because I was listening on the radio half of the day, and I heard something that really disturbed me, that the KPFA lab had voted on the recommendation of WPFW Local Advisory Board lab, grandfather in. And we here at WPFW voted as a lab, no grandfathering.
Excuse me, that is not true.
Backroom politics is taking place.
Excuse me, the WPFW lab did not vote on that.
Backroom politics are now taking place in this lab here in Washington, D.C. These people lost a legal vote, and they're going behind the doors to try to change the position of this Washington, D.C. lab. We voted no grandfathering in Washington, D.C. because I brought up the motion, and it passed.
Okay, we hear you. Okay,
excuse me, Karabi Rayford, WPFW Local Advisory Lab. I've talked to, so far, 5 members of the Local Advisory Board who've been at every single meeting for the last several months, and there was no vote taken on grandfathering. So this vote has not occurred as yet. And I think that needs to really be noted.
Do you have a secretary who takes notes during those meetings?
Yes, and we also tape the meetings.
Okay, thank you. All right, this meeting is adjourned for the evening. Folks, we really have to begin at 9 sharp tomorrow. We will begin as soon as we have 5 board members here.